Great privilege for me to be here with you, this time with my wife Christina. Now that I saw some of you, my memories are coming back, and I think it was 2014 when I first visited Faith URC. And it is a great joy for me to be here once again. And the Lord has been faithful to us through these past 10 years. And also, I became a grandfather 2 years ago. And so we are grateful. We have many reasons to be grateful. First of all, because we continue to be under the shadow of God Almighty. And I bring you the greetings of the congregation in Perugia, the Reformed Church of Perugia. And it will be my privilege to bring back your greetings next Lord's Day. Let us read now together the Word of God from Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I don't see any clock. If I will be preaching too long, you just do like this, please. Of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path, because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray to ask for the light from above. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are in your house, in the place where your blessed presence dwells. And we ask you to open our eyes that we may contemplate your beauty and that we may meditate in your temple. Bless the one who is speaking and those who are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to think with you about our enemies, our adversaries, trying to understand what their real nature is. Who are our real enemies in our lives, circumstances? This is the question we will be trying to answer. And I would like to introduce our considerations by mentioning a couple of books written by women for women. The first book is titled Get Out of Your Head, Stop the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. And according to this author, it seems that on average, a woman thinks at least 30,000 thoughts every day, and that some serious disorders that afflict younger and older women derive from so-called toxic thoughts. The second book, which is a bestseller and which has been translated also into Italian, is titled Women Who Think Too Much. Women Who Think Too Much. And this is what former Yale University professor Susan Nolan Oxema writes. Although we have numerous reasons to be happy and confident, as soon as we take a break from our daily activities, many of us are inundated by worries, thoughts, and emotions that spiral out of control and suck our energy. We suffer from an epidemic of rumination, prisoners of a torrent of negative thoughts and emotions that oppress us and interfere with our daily lives. And I ask you, is this only a female problem? Of course not. And Psalm 27 shows us that this is a temptation common to all of us, and that often, and now we come to the subject matter of our meditation this morning, our real enemy in the events of life is often our restless thinking. I will proceed considering Psalm 27 according to three perspectives. The first consists in a biblical exposition. What is showing us Psalm 27? Psalm 27 shows us who are the true enemies that can overthrow and destroy the psalmist as well as our own lives. As in many psalms, we see here the three usual protagonists. We see the psalmist, his enemies, and thankfully, we see God. The psalm oscillates continually between the psalmist's state of mind and the external dangers that arouse them. The psalmist turns to God as his light because he feels surrounded by darkness. That is why he thinks of God as his light, because he feels surrounded by darkness. He turns to God as his salvation because he is suffering from the oppression of evildoers. And he turns to God as his stronghold because he sees himself under siege. However, in addition to actual opponents who are external, and in addition to difficult circumstances which are external, the psalmist is above all assailed by his own afflictive thinking. In fact, we read at the beginning of the Psalms that he speaks of his own fear and terror. Moreover, we read that he hopes that the Lord will hide him. Why? Why he hopes that the Lord will hide him? Because he feels himself exposed, vulnerable. And again, he hopes that God will cause him to raise his head again because he has been downcast. Moreover, we read that he strongly desires a divine welcome, we can say a divine embrace, because he seems to have suffered the trauma of rejection. My father and my mother have forsaken me, the trauma of rejection. So you see that the psalm is speaking of real opponents and external enemies, but what I would like to insist on is that the true enemies of the psalmist, the enemies that can really devastate and destroy his life, are not primarily outside, are not primarily those outside, but rather the real enemies are these afflictive interior states of mind. But there is something else that we should consider in our biblical exposition. And what we considered up to this point is mainly negative. We considered the negative states of mind of the psalmist. But there is also a positive side in the psalm. In fact, the psalmist perceives, feels within himself also the voice of God speaking to his heart. The psalmist perceives within himself not only the voice of distrust, disturbance, and dejection, but also, and at a certain point above all, the voice of God who speaks to his conscience, telling him to seek his face, as we read in verse 8. The voice of God. And if we pay attention and if we learn to remain silent before the Lord, we too will hear the voice of God calling us clearly and distinctly. And we will learn with the psalmist that, as we read in verse 4, we actually need only one thing in life, and that is to dwell in the house of God, to contemplate in the midst of our life's circumstances the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. And once we learn to discern the divine beauty in the temple, we will be able also to discern his presence also in the land of the living. Because in the psalm we have this movement from the experience of God's presence in the sanctuary, then the psalmist moves, accompanied by God's presence in the land of the living, as we read at the end of Psalm in verse 13. So that is also our own experience. We have oppositions from outside. We experience trials, troubles in our daily life. And these situations arouse within us this turmoil and this inner instability and trouble is what can really devastate our life. And it is only when we dwell in the house of God, in his presence, that we can find real peace of mind, as the psalmist experienced. So far for the biblical exposition. Now we go one step further and we consider a Christological interpretation of the psalm. We will think how Psalm 27 speaks to us about the person and work of Christ. And the way in which I would like to consider Psalm 27 is to compare the psalmist's experience to the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself experienced inner trouble and turmoil, like the psalmist and like all human beings, the eternal Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, being a participant in our human nature, had to fight the disturbance of his own thoughts, of his own tempting and doubting thoughts and afflictive emotions. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus, at a certain point, was deeply troubled in his thoughts. In John 12, 27 and 28. And as he was deeply troubled in his soul, Jesus prayed as follows. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. So we see that despite being without sin, the Son of God experienced a terrible internal conflict, much greater and more intense than ours. The Lord of glory humbles himself by confessing his own human frailty when he manifests his thoughts by saying, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. These phrases, these words of our Lord show the conflict in his heart, a conflict that arises from the natural emotions of one who is truly human and who, as a human creature, has suffered everything that human creatures can suffer. But, and again here in John 12, we see a similarity between the experience of Jesus and the experience of the psalmist. Precisely at the moment in which his own thoughts and emotions are disturbing him most acutely, like the psalmist, the Lord hears the voice of the Father that strengthens him. Then, after Jesus prayed the Father, a voice came from heaven. I have glorified him, and I will glorify him again. And this is the voice that speaks from the heavenly temple. The voice that speaks from the throne high and lifted up. Even a while ago in the pastoral prayer, we had a reference to Isaiah 6. The throne of God. The psalmist is in God's presence. He wants to enjoy fellowship with God in the temple, in the house of God, because that is the place of peace of mind. And And the Lord Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem in John 12, and he is in the area of the temple. His heart is inclined towards the house of the Father, the house of prayer. And there, as in the case of the psalmist, a voice speaks to his heart, bringing comfort and speaking peace to his troubled soul. So, as the psalmist, also our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ experienced inner trouble, deep afflictive thinking, and he found peace of mind because the voice of God spoke to his heart, saying, "Seek my face." And we come lastly to an ecclesiological application. How does Psalm 27, that speaks to us about the experience of the psalmist and the experience of Christ, how does Psalm 27 speak to our own experience? Well, the conclusion is very simple. We too are afflicted by trouble and by toxic thoughts, and for us also, the medicine, the balm that brings peace of mind is the divine voice that we hear, especially in the sanctuary of God, in the house of the Father. In fact, the Lord Jesus, like the psalmist, always had his heart turned to the sanctuary, to the temple of God, to the house of prayer for all people. You remember that when Jesus was a little boy, his mind was always there, in that place. So it is nice to see the children and the teenagers here this morning in the temple of God. This is the best place on earth where we can be. As I mentioned, the passage we have just considered in the Gospel of John shows us Jesus in Jerusalem preparing to enter the temple, the place where the presence of God dwells. And the psalmist, in Psalm 27, like the Lord Jesus, knows that it is especially in the house of the Lord that the divine voice is heard, telling us, "Seek my face," and bringing peace to our mind, to our troubled souls. And the expression, "Seek the face of God," which is found often in the Old Testament, "seek the face of God," is a synonym for to enter the temple. In the Old Testament, these two phrases mean the same thing. Seeking the face of God means going into the temple of God, in the place where God made his presence to dwell. And it is in that place, in the place where we can seek the face of God, that the divine glory dwells. And it is there, let me say, in the church. In the spiritual temple of God. It is there that other voices calm down. And that the tangle of our thoughts and of our negative emotions is unraveled, because the sanctuary is a demonstration of God's presence in history, and especially in our own history. The church, the people of God, gathered together, forming the spiritual house where God's presence dwells, is a witness that God is present into our story. And that means that if we are here, it is because God is present in our history, in our personal history. That God put his hand upon us, and that he is leading our life, even though we are experiencing trouble outside and fights within. So I conclude with a very simple exhortation, an exhortation to put God to the test. Using regularly praying regularly, using Psalm 27, especially verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to contemplate the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. And as Saint Augustine commented upon Psalm 27, we want to use his own words as our own words, expressing our desire. I have not sought any reward from you that is outside of you, but your face alone. But your face alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with our frailty, with our afflictions, with our negative thoughts, and with our afflictive emotions, because we need to find peace of mind in our Christian walk. Because these thoughts and emotions can become our real and devastating enemies. So we pray that we may learn more and more to dwell in your house all the days of our life, And even though when we are not physically present into the sanctuary, that we may have our hearts set towards the temple, so that we may learn to live one day at a time, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord and meditating in His holy presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.